Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Lieutenant Randy Sutton, the founder of the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org, also retired Las Vegas Metro Police Lieutenant. So thanks so much for being back on the show, Randy. And I know you've been busy, and I know you were at Police Week, you know, all week the other week. So that was great, man. We're living vicariously through you, Randy Sutton. A shout out to our sponsors, you know, Gauls, our title sponsor. We have ComplianceTechnologies.com as well. Hey, don't forget with Gauls, if you want that 15% off, guys, keep this. This is your go-to. If you go to Gauls.com to make a purchase, use that Radio15 discount code to get 15% off your next purchase. We also have GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.life, and TwoBells.com. They built their new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. A shout out to Brian Burns from the Tampa Free Press, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, Travis H. LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all those guys for carrying our content and helping make this thing blow up as big as it is. And then, you know, Scott Steyer wanted me to start telling people how to find the show, how to watch us. And he's a big podcast guy. So yeah, we're on, if it's a podcast platform, we should be on it. I mean, I lost count, but we're on Spotify, Apple, iTunes, and you name it, we're on it. Also, we're on Rumble and YouTube and Facebook and Twitter or X, True Social, as well as for social media goes. So the best way to do it, go to our website, leoroundtable.com, top menu bar. It's got links to all the ways to watch the show, whether it's TV, radio, podcast, social media, it's all there. So make sure that you guys check that out. So Randy and I are going to talk about, our first topic is going to be Memorial Day, which is the day. And of course, Memorial Day, it's a national day of remembrance for U.S. service members who got killed in the line of duty. And Congress, I read up on before the show, and I actually didn't realize that, despite it being, you know, from the Civil War, there were some things that happened, but it was declared a federal holiday back in 1971. And, Randy, I know we've both been recognizing Memorial Day for a long time. You just got back from Police Week, and I know Memorial Day is more of a veteran of a military thing, but there are such close ties because, you know, always May 15th of Police Week is the presidential address. In this case, I think it was J.D. Vance, I think, that was doing this one this year, correct?
Yeah. And he's a great speaker. There was a great energy at National Police Week. The Memorial Wall, of course, was always a somber attraction. The Candlelight Vigil, I got to tell you about the Candlelight Vigil. So it was probably 20,000 cops there. They actually shortened it because there was a lightning watch. So there was a storm watch. And if there was any lightning, they were going to cancel the entire Candlelight Vigil. So what happened was all the politicians curtailed their speeches so that they could actually get to the Candlelight Vigil. And as soon as that happened, it just poured. It was as soon as they started lighting the candles, it was buckets on us. Everybody got absolutely drenched. It was cold.
No. Yeah. Oh, I have not heard that. You know, so for visual, unless something's changed, correct me if I'm wrong, but the candlelight, look, you've got normally, Randy said 20,000. Normally, I always tell people, you know, 25 to 40,000 cops that are there in Police Week, at least when I was rolling there every year for like a decade, it was like that. And the Candlelight Vigil, it's just so large. And it's such a huge thing. It's outside. It's got to be. And they had the blue laser. Yeah. And everybody has, it's a candlelit vigil because everybody's got the candles. I'm telling you, what a moving experience. They read all the names off that have been added to the wall, that previous year for 2025. And it's just a touching, extremely respectful event. And as respectful as it is, it's not a downer. It's not just the way they do it. It's just very respectful. And I guess the best way to say it would be like a positive reflection on their lives, you know, that ceremony. So it's just a great, great experience.
And I was there with a team from the Wounded Blue, because we were brought in to help with peer support for the families of the fallen. You know, this is a huge event where Concerns of Police Survivors is the charity that really runs National Police Week, along with the National Law Enforcement Memorial. So you have two things going on. You got the memorial stuff, and then you have concerns of police survivors who they bring the families, they pay for the families of the fallen to come to Washington. They put them up in the hotels, and they also provide support for them. And my teams were part of that support. So we were very, very busy during National Police Week. It was very moving. This is very raw stuff. The families that are there, they're coming to, see their loved one's name on the wall, and also gather support from other survivors. So it's a great, if you're a law enforcement officer and you haven't been to National Police Week, you got to make the trip. You got to make the
Got
trip.
to. Got to. Every cop, I always say, every cop has got to go at least once. If you've already retired, that doesn't get you off the hook. You really need to experience this thing. Words cannot describe what you're missing out on. And
And it's
guys,
great camaraderie too.
oh, it is unbelievable. It is unbelievable. And if you're not from Miami, New York, you can be one of the rest of us that just get to sit back and watch the show between the Miami and NYPD cops, and their interactions with each other and pranks and all that stuff going on. It's just a wonderful thing. So, hey, I did a little research before the show for those people like me that didn't really understand the difference between Memorial Day and Veterans Day. And you look, I was not in the military at 21. I jumped right into police work, fresh out of college. So anyhow, I didn't do the military thing, but I want to make sure that that I was doing this properly. So the two holidays, Memorial Day and Veterans Day, they honor two different people. So Memorial Day, it honors all service members who died basically in line of duty while serving. They died while serving. Veterans Day, however, observed every November the 11th. It honors all veterans living and deceased. So that is the difference between the two. And of course, Memorial Day is the last Monday in every May. So that date will always rotate, but November the 11th is the one assigned to Veterans Day. So that's the difference for those who didn't know. For those who knew, and I didn't know, you've got one up on me. So thanks. Any final words, Randy, before we move on?
No, I think that we tend to lose sight of the reasons behind some of these holidays, and they're just a great way to we just have another day off, and I think we really need to remember those who made these sacrifices for us. Because otherwise, without them, our nation would not be standing today.
You're right. Us being able to do this show, say some of the things that we say, some of it's controversial, but it's because of the guys that have died to preserve our right to do that. And even some very recently with this thing going on with Iran, we've had some service members that have been killed. Not a lot, thank God. But we've had some people that have given the ultimate sacrifice. And some of the stories we'll never really fully know. So yeah, thank you to our service members who put their lives in jeopardy and peril on a daily basis. Thanks, guys. Now moving along, we've got some information. I'm going to kind of whet the appetite here. We've got the we're gonna the checkpoint shooter, the Secret Service thing. We've got some new information on him. We've got Tulsi Gabbard resigning as the intel chief. That was a shock. SUV attack on an ICE agent in Chicago caught on video. I was not aware of that, but that video is pretty bad. LAPD officers fatally shoot a pursuing suspect when he points a gun at officers after crashing. And then we got a Bowie police officer convicted of attempted murder. Wait till you guys hear that one. And there's a flag in that story. I'm curious what Randy thinks about it. Then we got Houston police released body cam of a deadly shootout between a suspect who wore a security uniform, got into a Sam's Club, and he's like shooting while he's in there. So that's it. That's all we got lined up. But I think that we'll be lucky if we were able to cover all of it. So, Randy, if you're okay with going to the White House real quick for the checkpoint shooter, we've got a Tampa Free Press at tampafp.com. White House checkpoint shooter dead after opening fire on Secret Service. So, look, this happened over the weekend on Saturday. A man approached a White House security checkpoint. For people who've been in D.C. or done the White House tours and stuff, you guys are familiar with how this stuff goes down. This guy walks up Saturday evening. He pulls out a gun, open fires on law enforcement, and he died after officers returned fire, according to the feds. Now, according to a preliminary investigation by the U.S. Secret Service, this guy, he approached the checkpoint just after 6 p.m. There were other people there because we had a casualty. He removed a weapon from his bag and started firing at the posted officers that were there. Secret Service officers, they returned fire, but he started first. They shot him during the exchange. He's transported to the hospital. He later died from his injuries. No sympathies for him. A bystander, unfortunately, was struck by a bullet during the incident. They don't know, you know, whose gunfire, you know, struck him. I don't see that it really matters in a situation like this, because it could have been much worse. I suspect at that time there were a lot of people around. A law enforcement official stated that that they're still, you know, doing that part of the investigation. No Secret Service officers were injured in the shootout. President Donald Trump was actually inside the White House at the time, not impacted by this. The shooting took place near, for people who are familiar with the area, near a Starbucks that was on Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest. And law enforcement officers noted that this deceased guy, they knew him. He had interactions, even I think three interactions over the past year with the Secret Service and with the Metropolitan Police Department. And they indicated that he had had some mental health issues, which is not hard to imagine. Lieutenant Randy, we have about 15 seconds.
Not anymore.
Randy. Not anymore. No, you're right.
He's been cured of his mental health issues.
Well, I'll tell you what, hold that thought. We're going to go to our first commercial break, and I'll let Randy talk about this when we get back. But guys, stick with us. We're going to be talking about galls. We'll be right back.
My family only cares about one thing, that I come home safe.
At Galls, every order begins with a promise. Made with purpose. Stitched for support. Back with pride. Answered by dedicated hands. Delivering the standard you have sworn to uphold. We serve more than the mission. We serve the person. Each piece is engineered to help get our first responders through the shift and back home safe.
All right, guys, and welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Lieutenant Randy Sutton, founder of the Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org. We just left off talking about the White House checkpoint shooter who engaged the Secret Service. We have an innocent, you know, that ended up being, you know, shot as well. That's most of the information that we have, Lieutenant Randy Sutton.
Yeah, so this individual who got killed, the shooter, this guy had numerous run-ins with the Secret Service. Apparently, he had a fixation, like it seems like a lot of other people, with doing harm to the Secret Service and to the president. Somehow, he wound up, and this is he wound up with a firearm. Now, this once again, this demonstrates that you can pass all the anti-gun laws that you want. In all reality, bad guys get guns. And how do they get them? Of course, they're either stolen or, you know, they got them illegally to begin with, but they don't care. And this individual, you know, he opened fire. DC has checkpoints everywhere. They have a huge law enforcement presence, plus the National Guard. And this individual, you know, was made the fatal decision to attack these armed Secret Service, I think, uniformed personnel. They returned fire exactly as they're trained to do, effectively returned fire, killed the suspect, and the media was there, right? They were doing a story, and suddenly they were half a block away when the gunfire started. So they were the first people to report it, like, wait a minute, is that gunfire? Sure as hell is, right?
Wow.
Yeah. So, but once again, you know, this president has faced more danger than I think any other president in history. And they just keep on coming.
Yeah, I think, I clearly support that. I think the evidence supports that. Let me ask you this, Randy, from sitting in the comfort of my home and watching TV and seeing the Secret Service, the uniform division of the Secret Service police, it looks like they're carrying long guns, rifles, ARs, or the equivalent M4s. Are they carrying long guns from what you're seeing there on the street, or is that just at certain points? Or
I didn't see any carrying long guns when
okay.
I was there.
Okay. All right.
I'm sure they have them within very close proximity.
Me too.
But I didn't. You know, here's the thing. You know, we see there's a visual issue here. You know, seeing police officers with long guns, and, you know, just walking around the streets. It almost starts, you know, you start thinking you're in a banana republic. So the visual aspect of that is not something that I think they really want to put out there. Yeah.
I get it. But it's obviously something that we know that we pick up on right away when we see it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
So because of something that you said, Randy, I want to jump. I was going to cover the Tulsi Gabbard thing, but because of what you said, you were talking about guys having it in, you know, for like law enforcement or for the Secret Service in this particular case. I want to jump to the first video story that we have, which I kind of found by accident. RVMnews.com, SUV attack on ICE agent in Chicago caught on shocking video during the federal operation. I hadn't really heard about this that I remember. We cover the news every day. I don't remember hearing about this. Certainly I've never seen the video before, but there is video. So this Chicago guy who survived indicted on Thursday after federal prosecutors said that this newly released video shows him allegedly using there's no alleged about it. He's using an SUV. He's ramming the rear end of this pickup truck. That's an ICE pickup truck with ICE agents in it. And he's not only ramming, he's like pushing it forward and just down the roadway. He's going faster than the truck wants to go, and he just is really just pushing the thing, down the road and ramming him. According to the Chicago Southwest side, according to Fox News, Diego Emmanuel Reyes is our bad guy. He's 21 years old, Randy, indicted by a federal grand jury of charges of assaulting, impeding, intimidating, and interfering with a federal agent. And if convicted, he faces up to 20 years in federal prison. There's even a better part of this coming up in a second. Federal authorities said that the alleged incident happened on October 4th, 2025. It's Operation Midway Blitz. And according to the indictment, he intentionally slammed his SUV into the rear of the ICE agent's white pickup truck while the officer was carrying out official duties. Prosecutors say that the newly released video shows that the SUV striking the ICE pickup truck during the investigation. It shows that in it. And then after the initial crash, prosecutors allege that our bad guy accelerated forward and aggressively pushed the agent's truck with his SUV. The indictment includes an enhanced penalty. This is what I love, because the bad guy didn't count on this. The enhanced penalty is it's tied to the alleged use of a deadly or dangerous weapon, which would be his vehicle, identified by prosecutors as that SUV. They should add it up for every like 1,000 pounds, because it's like what, a 4,000 or 5,000 or 6,000 pound SUV. The enhancement, it raises the maximum possible sentence to 20 years in prison, which I love. And it goes on about federal officials condemning the act and all that stuff, and U.S. Attorney Andrew Botrus, you know, weighing in on this. But Randy, you had just talked about the Secret Service experiencing people that are like gunning for them, and now here we are talking about ICE in Chicago. It's something that I really hadn't even heard about yet.
Yeah, it did fly under the radar, and that's kind of weird. But you know, we've seen all these attacks on these ICE officers. Apparently, you know, it's diminished a little bit. You don't see them in the news as much. But they're, you know, you've seen basically an acceptance of the violence towards these ICE officers in Minneapolis, in Chicago, and in other places where the media seems to celebrate the attacks on these ICE officers. And of course, you still have the liberal left politicians who want to defund ICE. They want to get rid of ICE for some ungodly, you know, type of thinking that they have, where they seem to believe that we should just open the borders up and not have any respect for the borders of our nation. And ICE, these officers are just like every other law enforcement officer. They're doing their jobs, and they're under danger every step of the way.
Well, thank God the majority of the country doesn't feel that way. But oh my gosh, you're absolutely right. And this is a 21-year-old, probably fresh out of college and getting indoctrinated by our school system. Who knows? But hey, it's time for our second commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And they are committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing what they're called their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Device Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, it's called the Glove. It's not only helped officers tens of thousands of times, but they've actually had over 250,000 deployments. And guess what? No injuries, no deaths. Amazing statistic. It's actually moved them from less lethal to non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transition to a sidearm or a conductive energy weapon, the glove of ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today. Welcome back, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Lieutenant Randy Sutton, founder of the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. And, you know, we had just got done talking about this SUV attack on an ICE agent. You know, this 21-year-old, and I know that we kind of had to go to the commercial break, you know, while talking about it, you know, and watching that video, you know, the ICE agent, after he's getting pushed down the roadway and he's looks like he's locking his brakes and he can't stop. He just couldn't stop. He gets, when he comes, well, he eventually came to a stop, and then he bails out of the ICE truck and points his firearm at the bad guy behind the SUV, who backs up. And I thought for sure, I said, oh my gosh, I thought there was going to be a shooting, right? I mean, this is right. I'm thinking Renee Good all over again, you know, which was completely justified, clearly. But in this case, the guy refrained. I was a little concerned, not about him hitting the cop that was drawing down on him, but hitting somebody else or going back and ramming the vehicle. I thought the ICE guy had a you know, a cohort, you know, like a partner in there. There were other vehicles. It was a lot of traffic, and that I thought that he would have been justified in pulling the trigger, but he didn't. And the guy, they ended up catching the guy and get, you know, he temporarily got away. But any more commentary on that one, Randy?
I was thinking the same thing, though. This, I would say, light him up, and yeah. You know, he perfectly justifiable shooting. But you know, these guys are scared to death to use their weapons as well. I mean, they're being threatened with prosecution after this administration. We've heard politicians say after this administration is done, they're going to go after ICE officers who were involved in shootings. I mean, yeah. Talk about a chilling effect on law enforcement.
Right.
And we have seen prosecutions of cops that are absolutely outrageous for uses of deadly force.
No, you're right. I can't argue with you. You're absolutely right. I hate to think that that's what they had to look forward to. So for doing their job and for doing it well. We've got commentary. Paul Bogart here, who actually I used to work with, and I had not seen the posting that you're referencing, but thank you for watching the show, Paul. I would check into that. Betty Dunn and some of the other people that are weighing in on this. People don't have common sense anymore is what Betty Dunn is saying. I think Betty gets it, Randy. I think she's getting it. So,
and common sense seems to be very uncommon these days.
Yes, 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 it does. We've got MVS weighing in from Rumble and talking about the Colorado governor that we will skip over, but he's also talking about the glove. You know, when we had that competition that we did with the Wounded Blue, Travis Yates and I ended up getting gloved. I lasted just a hair longer than Travis. So my glove is actually going to the Tampa Police Department, and the one that MVS who donated the most money. And then he split the pot, because he donated in my name to the Wounded Blue, and he donated in Travis Yates' name to the Wounded Blue. So he could have won either way. I think he donated enough money to pull up, but anyhow, he has a free pair. And it looks like right now that Travis Yates is trying to put that with the Tulsa Police Department, that glove for that glove for MVS. So MVS, cool. Thanks for making that happen. So so moving along, let's go ahead and hop on to this Tulsi Gabbard thing. Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Tulsi Gabbard resigns as the intel chief following her husband's cancer diagnosis, which is, you know, it's look, I kind of feel like with Pam, I hate to lose, and you know, we're losing some good people, but sometimes things happen that are out of your control, unless Randy knows something. I don't know. The article says that the director of national intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, I cannot stress enough how important her job is. Oh my God. And there is just so much stuff we will never know about that job, and it should be that way, but it's extremely important. And she's resigning from her post. Everything's good between her and Trump. Best I can tell, she's not leaving till June the 30th. And she informed the president of her decision in the Oval Office on Friday. And it was reported by Fox News Digital first. And they got a hold of her, a copy of her resignation letter. Now, in the letter, she cited personal family reasons for having to leave, said her husband was recently diagnosed with a rare form of bone cancer, which is a horrible thing to have to go through. So we really need to keep her and her family and her husband in our thoughts and prayers. She expressed gratitude to the president for her time in the administration. She wrote that she was deeply grateful for the trust that he placed in her and for the opportunity to lead the Office of Director of National Intelligence for the last year and a half, which is monumental. Randy Sutton.
Yeah, so I got a great deal of respect for her. But you can understand making a decision. I mean, when it comes down to, you know, caring for your loved one, you know, the cancer, you know, it's the scourge of the earth. And you can understand why she would make the decision that she did. But yeah, I think we'll miss her, though.
Yeah, there's no doubt. What a tough decision. I know this decision had to have been really tough because she's got the weight of the country. And just think about all the stuff that she knows that we're unaware of and that she knows. And to bring, I mean, you know, obviously someone that is her underling that is familiar with this stuff too could hopefully step in and try to do as good of a job. I hate to lose her, but I completely understand. And I'm very impressed she's putting her husband first. I mean, you know, I don't know what the prognosis is for that. Just a horrible, guys, count your blessings. There's so many things that go on in our lives or get thrown our way. So yeah, we need to really keep her in our prayers. She's done a phenomenal job. I've never heard the downside of her. She's that job involves so much that we'll never know. It's just crazy. If you're ready, Randy, we got into the story with a video component, and let's jump over to LAPD. So at rumble.com, this is Butter again, our favorite law enforcement video channel. So we're in LA back on April the 8th of this year, around 9:40 in the morning, LAPD Central Patrol Division.
This is Adrian Ellis.
No take primer.
As Jaime neared the bottom of the off-ramp, he conducted a U-turn, re-entered the southbound 5 freeway, and accelerated away at a high rate of speed. The officers then activated their police vehicle's emergency lights and siren and initiated a vehicle pursuit.
1-8-12, we're being pursued of a Colt 6 Charles vehicle. We're going to be continuing southbound on the 5 from Indiana. Black BMW two-door.
Jaime then continued driving erratically for several more miles as he weaved in and out of traffic lanes. Moments later, Jaime exited the freeway once more on Olympic Boulevard. While on the off-ramp, he conducted a U-turn and accelerated against oncoming traffic and collided head-on with two oncoming police vehicles that were exiting the freeway.
Something just slow down, guys. Slow down, coming around the corner.
You
just
spun
out.
Oh.
Exiting Downey.
Vehicle
exiting Downey.
What's
Downey?
Slow down, guys. Slow down, coming around the corner. You just spun out.
Just got out.
Vehicle spun out.
Oh, shit.
Southbound 5 Freeway.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Something just slow down, guys. Slow down, coming around the corner. You just spun out.
After the BMW came to a stop on the off-ramp, Jaime exited from the driver's side and stood beside the vehicle. The officers began to give Jaime verbal commands to surrender. However, he refused to comply and instead removed a handgun from his waistband. When he pointed the handgun at an officer-involved shooting occurred.
Put your hands up!
I need to shut down the...
they're patrolling in the area and they see a newer model BMW that happens to be wanted for a felony crime. They don't really go into the specifics on what it was, whether it was a hit and run or whatever, but the officers follow the car. They're on the 5 freeway and they're asking for additional units. So they're just following the car. They're not turning their lights on or sirens or anything. They're just trying to get units in the area because they know that this guy's probably going to run when they try to pull him over. So it's a smart tactical move. When the BMW starts to accelerate, which it does eventually, in an attempt to evade, the officers initiate a pursuit. So they light him up and they have the sound and the lights going. 1 minute later, didn't take long, the BMW gets on the off ramp. It does a U-turn and he accelerates in the lane going against traffic. Well, the funny thing is that we've got, you know, remember this guy doing the following, he's radioed and units are trying to get in the position. So you got these guys that are banking around this entrance ramp, not knowing that around the corner, they can't see this dude's hauling butt coming right at him head on. Sure enough, right when they come in the site, there's this fishtailing going on, and he hits a couple of the marked cars and stuff that are moving in. And then the BMW comes to a stop after it strikes the second police vehicle on the entrance ramp going the wrong way. Our 30-year-old driver, Jesus Ernesto Jamie, exits the driver's seat, and he's standing up beside the driver's door. We got a beautiful dash cam of this guy, and he's sitting there staring really at all the officers, but mainly at our officer that's parked in front of him with the dash cam and whose car he did not strike. If he would have continued on, he would have hit that one finally, the third car. So he just, they're yelling commands at him. He's really not responding. And they are telling him to surrender. He reaches in his shirt and he acts like he's going for a weapon in his waistband, but he doesn't pull it out right away. And then eventually he pulls it out and he points it at the officer who's got the dash cam going and they light him up. And he falls to the ground and he ends up dying. There was a passenger that was in the vehicle too, in the BMW. He complied because they just killed his buddy, I guess. They take him into custody without incident. And we actually had two officers that had to go to the hospital for injuries because they got struck with the bad guy's vehicle, you know, while they were in their car. They recovered a 9mm semi-automatic lock handgun. It had 17 live rounds. And they also had a .357 Magnum revolver that they got inside it as well. That's a nasty gun. That's a nasty round, Randy, that .357 Magnum crap. So anyhow, that's the way this went down. We got a pretty cool video on this one. Randy Sutton.
Yeah, the video is really clear. You know, you wonder why are you making this decision? You know you're going to die. You have the ability to live, and yet you make that decision to pull that gun out, facing cops that are at all kinds of tactical positions. You're not going to live through this. You know, so you wonder, is it suicide by cop? Was it, you know, was what goes through the mind other than a 9mm?
Wow. Yeah.
Of an individual like this, you can see him making the decision. You know, he reaches in and he doesn't pull the gun out right away.
Right.
But he's evaluating. And I just don't understand the thinking that you're not going to win this. You're going to be the loser on this. Do you care so little about your own life? I'd be curious as to what this guy's criminal history was. I don't think the article went into that.
Yeah, no, I didn't remember reading it either. You know, one thing and I know we just got seconds here before we take our third commercial break, but I don't remember, this is LAPD, but I don't remember seeing any long guns. And I know we had, you know, like three units that were there after the guy crashes and they're drawing down and he ultimately draws down them. But I don't remember seeing any long guns from LAPD. I believe our cops had pistols. So
they used them effectively.
Yeah, well, they did. Well, guys, we're coming up on our third commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. But, hey, there are some changes with GunLearn. So GunLearn, if you're not familiar with them, they're the first and they're the only company that offer a step-by-step program that takes you from your present knowledge level to become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist. So being a certified firearm specialist, though, guys, even if you turn the certification like 5 years ago It's now worth college credits because GunLearner.com, they partnered with Smarter Degree and their university partners, and now that degree, it is worth college credits. They've been doing this back since 1996. They've been teaching everything that LEOs, which is law enforcement officers, need to know about firearms and ammunition to all facets of law enforcement. Now, you can start the day with online training, or you can sign up to attend a live seminar, and you can actually get free training for yourself and all the personnel your agency by hosting a seminar for absolutely no cost. Go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Hook up with the founder, Dan O'Kelly. Again, that is GunLearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Lieutenant Rennie Sutton, all the way from Las Vegas, the founder of the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. And Randy, if you're ready to hop over to Maryland real quick, we're going to go with the Bowie police officer convicted of attempted murder. And I don't know if you're familiar with this one or not, but NBCWashington.com covered it. There's a little flag in the story that I picked up on. I'm curious what you think about that. So this Bowie police, it's B-O-W-I-E. This guy's found guilty on Wednesday of attempted second degree murder because he fired his gun at, he didn't hit him, but he fired his gun at a guy on a busy roadway back in 2024. So we're talking maybe up to 2 years ago. Sergeant Robert Warrington, he stopped in the morning of September the 12th, 2024. So we're about, what, a year and a half ago. He's checking on a white SUV that's parked on the side of the road. Now, a guy, and this always bothers me. This is the first flag. This dude doesn't want to be identified. So our mystery man that was shot at ultimately by our sergeant, he previously told News 4 that he was trying to retrieve his hat that had blown away while his girlfriend and his child remained in the SUV. So I'm assuming he's driving down the road and it blew off his head or something, unless he's out doing his business and it blew. I don't know. They don't really get into that, but he's in an SUV. His hat blows off. Now he leaves his wife and children and he goes to get it outside the car. Body cam video shows the man walking past Sergeant Warrington on his way back to the SUV. So he's already picked up his hat, apparently. He appeared to have one hand over his stomach with the other hand holding a white cloth or T-shirt. And so the sergeant asked him, hey, are you here to help her, meaning the woman with the children in the SUV? He responds, nah, she's taking me to the hospital. And then moments later, it says the sergeant fired a shot towards the man. The bullet didn't hit him, but the man fell on the ground when the sergeant fired it. And it said the gunshot hit a passing minivan, but at least nobody was injured. And the sergeant said that he had a gun. He had a gun. And the man said, I don't have a gun. So this is a transcript of what's being said. The woman screamed, what did you do? What did you do? And why did you do that? And so the sergeant, they say, says, I'm sorry, repeatedly. And as soon as my ears stopped ringing, I turned around and asked the officer why he did shoot me, or shoot at him, he meant, but he said why he shot me. So this guy's given an interview the News 4. So he said he instinctively pulled on his phone to try to capture the shocking encounter. And that's my second but most important flag. Bad guy talking the News 4, who seems like he's probably adding the commentary, the transcript for what the sergeant said and everybody else. He said he instinctively pulled down his phone to try to capture the shocking encounter. He doesn't say what the shocking encounter was. So I kind of get the impression reading that, Randy, that maybe when the sergeant pulls up and sees this guy walking down the interstate towards the SUV and he asked him, hey, are you there to help out the woman in the car, not realizing that he had left the car earlier, I'm thinking that the guy reaches out and pulls out a cell phone because he wants to film the encounter is what I'm thinking. The sergeant, a 12-year veteran of the Bowie Police Department, was convicted of a felony, attempted second-degree murder, first-degree assault, we're not even done, reckless endangerment, and misconduct in office. Now, because he's convicted now of a felony, the department had to let him go, and that he's expected to be sentenced later this year. Randy Sutton.
I don't understand it. I don't understand charging this officer criminally and then stacking the charges like that. I don't understand what took place here. I know Maryland has had some, you know, liberal issues, but holy cow, this is what civil lawsuits are for, right? This is, there was nobody hurt. And what, where was the intent of this officer. I mean, I don't understand it. I don't understand the decision to charge. I don't understand the decision to create this volume of felony charges on this guy. It's mind-boggling to me.
Even when even the bad guy is saying that the cop was saying that he's got a gun, he had a gun, he had a gun, he had a gun. There's no, I mean, it gives me no reasonable expectation to believe that the sergeant didn't think that this guy had a gun, and then him throwing in that he pulled out his phone instinctively, that kind of tells me that he's trying to cover his freaking butt by saying I instinctively pulled out that, which is makes me think that's why he got shot. I mean, how many bad guys have we had shot, and rightfully so, because they've had like so it's been like dead at night, or they pulled out on purpose, like they're drawing out an officer, but they have a black object. It's at night, or you can't, or you can't slow down the frame, right? When you have a bad guy acting like he's got a gun and he just rips his hand out, even if it's just his finger, and you're in fear, a reasonable officer would be in fear. It's a justified shoot. So, yeah, I'm with you. It's not anything to be
I
decided in
don't
the court
get
of
it.
law.
I don't get it. I don't get it. And was this, and I wonder if this was a jury trial or if this was a bench trial.
Good point. Good point. I don't know. I'm going to try to get more information on this and find out. They should have had someone like Jamie Borden with Critical Incident Review,
Yeah, exactly. Right.
or Von Kleem with Four Science. Is what he needed. We got just enough time for the second one, Randy. Rumble.com. This is Butter. So we're in Houston now. Houston police released body cam. It's a deadly shootout between the suspect and police inside of a Sam's Club.
We gotta clear this room. Yep, somebody watch my lawn.
Watch your lawn.
Door's still shut.
See somebody?
All right.
Who's the police? Who's in there?
Come out.
Hey! Hey, you right there! I see you! Get your ass out here! I got a guy behind the printer. He's on the right side.
Come on with your hands up! Come on with your hands up!
Hey, you! Don't you do that stupid shit, man!
Where's he at? Where's he at?
He's behind the printer right here in front. He's right here. Through the window. Oh, man.
You okay?
Stop yeah.
Security! Security, come on!
Yo,
hands up.
Let me see your hands! Let me see your hands!
Come out with your hands up!
Let me see your hands! Where you at? Let me see your hands! Let me see your hands! I think the room's.
He's right here, he's right here.
I'm gonna kick it. I'm gonna can we kick it? Yeah, this guy's shot.
It's gonna be hard to kick that door, you man.
Guns on the ground. Guns on the ground. Yo, let me see your hands! Security guard. You okay? Let me see your hands. Let me see your hands. What do you think?
Stop shooting. It's security. Security, come out with your hands up.
Let me see your hands. Let me see your hands.
Come out with your hands up.
Let me see your hands. Where you at? Let me see your hands.
You'll never look at a Sam's Club the same way again. So I'll go through this quickly. Houston police, they released body worn camera of the shooting that happened at the Sam's Club that killed the suspect back in April. So the guy suspected of dressing up in a security guard uniform, and he's inside the Sam's Club. He's in an office and he's firing shots. And he was identified as Obed Flores Trullo. And so we have a body cam. It shows our officers arriving. They're in the back warehouse. So it's really like a big warehouse anyhow, but they're back where the offices are, and they roll up on an office window, and it's got bullet holes in it. It's not shattered. It's just got some bullets. So that, and it appeared, that the bad guy was inside of it and had been shooting out of it. So our cop takes his hand, it looks like, and he knocks a hole in it so we can see inside the room. He's got a flashlight. He's looking in there, and he's calling in to say, hey, who's in there? Who's in there? He sees the bad guy, and now there's a string of fire because the bad guy, and you can't really see it on camera, bad guy's got a gun, points at the officer, pulls trigger, fires him. So officer returns fire. And then a few seconds later, there's another string of fire from our cops. I don't know whether the bad guy engaged them with fire first or not, but they shot at him again. But you see him in the video appearing through that hole in the window, and then our cop falls backwards. And when he does, the guy next to him takes the lead, who actually had a long gun, which is what you want in the lead anyhow in the first place. But bad guy's down. They end up getting the door open, and bad guy's on the ground, and he ends up dying, I believe, on this one. So Randy Sutton.
Yeah, this was really interesting to watch. When the officers got there, I think it was a shots fired call, and they heard gunfire from the exterior before they made entry. And this is a nightmare entry. I mean, this is a massive store.
yeah.
And what I found interesting was they were doing the verbal challenge all along the way. And I don't even know if I would have done that. Because basically you're calling attention to yourself, and you're presenting yourself as a target as you're trying to clear this massive store. And they ran into the bad guy pretty early on as they're doing the search, but they're verbally challenging this store. They don't know what the activity is. They don't know if there are people down, and they're challenging the store. They're challenging, is anybody hurt in there? But they're announcing where they are the entire time. I'm not sure that was the tactically sound thing to do, because this guy, he was dressed like a security guard. I don't know what he was actually doing. They didn't go into that in the story. Did he go in there to I don't know what he was doing in there.
His end game? I have no idea. Oh, yeah. How does this make any sense? He's inside of an office in a confined space and firing shots out the window. You know, knowing that law enforcement's going to, it makes no sense. Yeah.
Well, he won't do that again.
No, you're absolutely right. I was going to say the same thing. So. Lieutenant Randy Sutton, it's been great having you back on the show, and especially on Memorial Day. So thank you so much for being here, sharing with us some of the insights from Police Week. And I really see these dates this month as everything being so closely related between law enforcement and our military brothers and sisters. And we so appreciate everything that they've done and continue to do so that we can really enjoy the lives that we have. I mean, the military is much more responsible for that than we are on the police side, I think. But I
want to talk about the Survival Summit. So before we run out of time, National Law Enforcement Survival Summit, September 28th through the 30th in Las Vegas. If you are a law enforcement officer, this is the conference you need to go to. And we encourage you bringing your spouse to this. So go to thewoundedblue.org. Or go to twbsummit.com and sign up today.
I love it. Thank you. Randy Sutton, Gauls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, GunLearn.com, on Medicare.life, and TwoBells.com. We'll see you guys back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.